Welcome, and thanks for listening to Intrinsic Investigations. My name is Mr. Olivo, and I created this podcast because I've been fortunate enough over the last decade to see unique and thought-provoking projects happen in my classroom, and we wanted a place to showcase them. The true heart of this podcast lies not in the content discovered, but in exploring the personal stories of these young researchers as they journey through uncharted and unfamiliar intellectual terrain. By sharing their stories, we hope to normalize the challenges and frustrations that come with independent research, and also share those moments where students transcend the normal grind of the school day to discover concepts that range from the global to deeply personal. We will begin with a brief introduction to the student of focus, why they pick their topic, and discuss their growth over the course of the last year. It should be mentioned that the opinions expressed in this podcast in no way reflect the opinions of our school district, Bergen County Technical Schools and Special Services, or our school itself, Bergen County Technical High School Teterboro, or the College Board. The work detailed in this podcast was most likely completed in AP Capstone, but this podcast is in no way affiliated with the College Board. This is another two-person... Well, actually, three-person interview.
Woo! Yay!
We were planning on doing this fully in ASMR, but we have instead decided to actually deliver this at regular volume.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Tessa, if you'd like to begin. You want to just do a little bit of it? You want to introduce yourself using your best...
Hi, my name is Tessa, and this is our ASMR AP Research themed video.
Okay, now let's do it for real.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. All right, I am here with two students. Tessa, can you introduce yourself at a normal volume that doesn't creep me out as much?
Hi, my name is Tessa. I'm an 11th grader here at Bergen Tech. I was in AP seminar as all of us have been last year, and now we just completed our AP research course.
Congratulations. And we are also joined by...
Chloe Lau. I'm also an 11th grader here at Bergen Tech in commercial art.
And I'm in culinary, sorry.
Yep. We're in the arty majors.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Art is great.
We love art.
It's the most human
creativity.
Thing we can do. Creativity is super
That's
important.
That's a value.
That is a value. That is about values-based learning. That's what we're all about. Why did the two of you, because you're not even in the same period, you're in period five, Tessa, and you're in period two, Chloe. Why did the two of you choose to tag team this interview?
Well, we both examined social media platforms. You did Instagram, I did TikTok, and also YouTube. So we thought it would both be like relevant to the subjects. You're also examining medical, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at like breast augmentation surgery related videos.
And I'm researching medical burnout.
So both in the medical field, both looking at social media as the avenue for discussions and I guess discussions of these phenomenon. So
yeah.
Breast augmentation
yes.
surgery and medical school burnout.
Yep.
All right. Why, Chloe, did you pick the topic that you picked?
Well, this year, you know, Bergen Tech really burnt me out. I'm a junior. So I was scrolling through.
I hear junior's a rough year.
Yeah, it's a pretty rough year. You know, the hardest one, they say. But I was scrolling through TikTok, and I came across a video of, like, medical students. And I'm, like, interested in the medical field, obviously. And I went to the comments, and they were all, like, stressed out. They were like, oh, my God, it's so bad. I don't even want to do medical school anymore. So I was like, maybe a topic for AP research would be good on this. So.
Okay, so you explored the thing that was stressing you out.
Yeah.
That's a good approach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Tessa?
I picked my topic because I'm an aspiring plastic surgeon, and I want to go into plastic surgery when I'm older, just because I want to help people feel comfortable in their own bodies. And I was looking just at social media, and I often see videos of cosmetic surgery advertisements by like surgeons and non-surgeons and just patients saying how great their surgery goes. And I know a lot of people I know want to undergo cosmetic surgery based on social media trends, what they're seeing on TV. So that's why I chose to analyze this topic.
It is so interesting that you bring that up because one of the ninth graders right now in intro to research is currently looking at plastic surgery that is being influenced by face filters.
Yes.
And I didn't know that that was
the... Yes, it's that was when I was looking at like specifically what I'm going to focus on social media, a big thing I saw in a lot of the sources was Instagram, of course, which is what I picked, but I also saw Snapchat and how it can influence body dysmorphia.
And when we say Snapchat filters, we're talking about the more realistic face filters, not like I have a puppy face and I want to look like a puppy now.
I actually think it applies to both because...
What? I can have a puppy face?
Yeah, you can have a puppy face.
Explain.
Like,
because I'm old and uncool.
The ones with like the puppy ears and stuff, they still amplify your eyes. They change your face shape. They make your face way smaller. If you ever have gone on Snapchat and put on a filter, it will like shrink your face vertically, and it like makes you look like a baby again, like young. So maybe it's something to do with youth.
It might have something to do with youth. Wow. All right, I'll bring that into next period when I'm talking to that student. That's good to know.
Yeah, you should.
All right, thank you, Tessa. It seems that both of you, one thing you have in common is, Chloe, you want to pursue something in the medical field, and Tessa, you want to go into plastic surgery. So while your topics were chosen very much in the now of your academic development, there may be a payoff for later when you're doing this in higher education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I was diving through this topic of like solutions possibly for burnout, and Weber 2019, my source, he says there are many ways for you to solve burnout by just kind of detaching yourself and making you feel like better about yourself, and also finding self-comparison in a positive way, not a negative way, on social media.
This is something that came up a couple times, but comparison, that idea of if you're solely comparing to make yourself feel bad about yourself, then that's not the way to go about it. But if you compare yourself and you see someone's doing something that's working for them effectively, like maybe mm-hmm. adopting that strategy, is that sort of what you're discussing?
Yeah, that's what I'm discussing. And also like stress contagion was like a big thing in my topic. And I don't know, for you, Tessa, you talked about promotional advertisement. Stress contagion was like within my social media posts. Like, they would post about something and like the viewers would be more stressed when looking at it. I don't know if it's the same for you, Tessa, if they were like promoting anything.
So I didn't really analyze what the viewers were saying, more on the content of the videos themselves, but the implications like for later on in the medical field, like when we become medical professionals, my work, basically, I read a lot about ethical use of social media and how it's a great tool to use, but there is like risk to using it as well, because there's a promotional factor in posting on social media in itself. But knowing how to use it like well, it has really like maybe will make me feel more comfortable in the future when I need to post on plastic, not plastic, when I need to post on social media about surgeries and my practice, I'll know how to do it in the way that will benefit everyone involved.
Okay. Let's get into how you tried to analyze these phenomena of medical school burnout and the discussions of breast augmentation surgery on Instagram. Chloe, how did you... You said you used YouTube and TikTok.
Yeah.
Why did you choose those two platforms, and how did you go about getting your data?
Yeah, so I chose TikTok initially because that's where I saw the video on, but TikTok got banned.
Yes, we discussed this in a previous episode, but elaborate on that.
It's a very sad, very depressing moment. TikTok was banned. Everyone was going crazy for a couple of days, and I just couldn't do the research anymore because it didn't fall under the AP research timeline. And I was also scared that it wouldn't be relevant anymore. So I quickly shifted to YouTube. And YouTube was actually better for me because it fell under like three of my main criteria of my research. One of them was it had to be related to medical students. Two, they had like time indication of how long they were studying for. And three, the comments all had like were over 10. So I was able to input them in my data sheet. So I did a qualitative method with quantitative output results. That's what I did.
Okay, we'll get into what you found after we hear out. So how did you approach your work, Tessa?
Like, why I chose Instagram specifically?
We know you chose... you can explain why you chose Instagram specifically, but once you chose Instagram, how did you find potential sources of data, like whether they're the posts or the comments?
So I chose Instagram because of the age range that are most likely to engage on Instagram, which matched the age range that are most likely to undergo breast augmentation surgery. So, and there was also sources that combined those two and said that the most engagement from potential breast augmentation surgery patients was on Instagram. And the way I did it, I chose board certified plastic surgeons by the ABPS Board of Plastic Surgery, because these surgeons, by being board certified, that's basically saying that they are supposed to be following a certain ethical code and they're supposed to be posting more educationally on social media. But previous sources have found that on Instagram, by Kameth Van Thornton, there was a source that analyzed board certified plastic surgeons and found that there was more marketing rather than educational or other types of videos. So that's why I analyzed board certified surgeons specifically, because they're supposed to be upholding a code, and I was analyzing to see if they actually are.
So if that code was upheld?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's get into what was found, right? What the data revealed. So Chloe, you're basically trying to explore how medical burnout is discussed in the comments, right? Was it in the comments section?
Yes.
And before you talk about what the data said, was it easy for you to tell who was or wasn't in medical school from the commentary, or not really?
Oh, no. I couldn't find the demographic at all.
Yeah. So you may have had to make some assumptions about whether or not that person was currently in med school, or did you not even try to make that assumption?
Yeah, I had to make some assumptions. But majority of the time, there was a lot of like alumni that were talking about their experiences.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so that's a great segue into your work. Let us know, what did you find when looking through this commentary on medical school burnout?
Yeah, so initially I thought that these videos would be more negative than positive, because when I saw them, I was really stressed out. I was like, what am I going to do, right? But
real quick, so when you say negative, like their commentary would be like, oh, medical school is the worst, or like finals are the worst. Okay.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, I'm so stressed out. How'd you do MCAT and all that stuff? Okay. So I thought the comments were going to be mostly negative, which was my hypothesis, but there were actually positive codes being dominated at 72.8%. So that was mind-blowing to me. And I had so many sources like Zill, Weber, everyone was saying how these comments would be negative, but my source did the exact opposite. So I was like super intrigued. I was like, what are these positive codes? So I dove more into it and I made positive codes myself, because none of the sources had positive codes. So I made my own codes and I dove into what was really motivating these students to comment positively. And the main factor was, one, inspiration, and two was asking for advice and seeking help.
Yeah, could you give an example of what a positive code regarding burnout would look like?
That's a good question.
Would it be something as simple as, you know, someone posts a video where it's like, oh, I'm up at 5 a.m., I go for my run, and then I'm studying for the MCAT? Like, is it stuff like that where people are like, yeah, you do it, crush it, wake up that early, take an ice bath, and just, like, suck it up? And
I actually have a list of comments.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, we'll get beyond my hypotheticals.
Yes. No, that was very good hypotheticals. But one of them was like, I can't wait when I can dedicate my life and passion to fascination. I was like, whoa.
To fascination?
To fascination.
Okay.
I was like,
I feel like I've dedicated my life to fascination my entire life. I didn't need medical school to do that.
I was like, wow, okay. And another one was, I'm so interested in the way you're able to balance your social and educational life, which was interesting. It was like asking for help almost.
In that video, did it demonstrate how to balance one's social and educational life in med school?
Yes, they were talking about like how they personally struggle with social values and also like studying a lot.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Tessa. Yeah, and Tessa, what did you find out in? And to be clear, were you looking at the commentary or the actual like the post, like the commentary provided by the author of the post or the commentary of the people responding?
So I looked at the commentary of the author of the post. So the okay. surgeons that were posting what they were saying in the video and the caption of the video.
These board certified surgeons.
Yes, board certified surgeons. Yep. And I actually also found, I was listening back to Chloe's and I was like, wow, we had a lot of the same experience, because when I did my research, I found that there was more, educational comments than promotional comments, which, I was super surprised about, because there were also multiple sources saying how promotional and how much marketing content is on social media, especially regarding cosmetic surgery. This also, though, could be affected by my sample size, as I only looked at three surgeons, and one of them was majority promotional, but it was only by a little bit. I think it was 53% promotional and then 47% educational for his, but it still was promotional.
Can you explain what to the audience what the difference would be between a promotional post and an educational post, just so they get an idea?
Yeah, so I didn't do the main, like, if a post was more promotional or educational, that wasn't counted as, like, 1 point. It was more which sentence is promotional or educational. An example of a promotional quote would be, she listened to everything I asked her to do, and we are very happy of how beautiful she turned out. That falls under my positive appearance post-operation code, which basically was talking about how the surgeon, like, felt proud of his work, like, how gotcha. Great she turned out. That was promotional because it's making people think, like, there are always going to be issues in surgeries, but the ones that are posted are usually the ones that have went the way that the surgeon has wanted it to go.
So, I would anticipate that.
Yeah, him saying case, yeah. that it was the way it wanted it okay. to go was considered promotional. And then an educational, probably one of the most prominent educational ones was procedure explanation, when they were educating the viewer on what actually are the steps of undergoing, like, a surgery. So one of the educational codes was, you have to replace them just like brakes on your car. So it was educating.
And he was referring to breast implants there?
Yes.
Okay.
So it was educating the viewer about how multiple surgeries may be needed to uptake what the patient's vision is of what they want their body to look like, which is, like, educational because many people don't know that you have to get multiple surgeries done in order to look the way that you see on social media. And he was educating you about that, even though it was a little bit informal, it still had educational,
like an educational connotation.
Yeah. Connotation.
This is something I've wondered about your work. Can something be educational and promotional simultaneously?
So, okay, this is actually a conversation I had with my dad after he read my work, because he was talking about, like, really social media, by even just posting one video on it, it's promotional in nature. You're sharing your experience, you're sharing what your practice is doing, what you've been working on. You have an option to not post on social media. So choosing to post on social media is promotional in nature.
Yeah, in and of itself.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
So it is hard to navigate that. But since so many people are posting on social media to get ahead in their practice and to educate viewers on what they're doing and how to get in contact with them, so it's almost become a necessary thing where surgeons have to post on social media, especially if doing a private practice that not a lot of people know about, in order to gain those new patients to even support themselves and make money. Because if everyone is only watching videos a certain surgeon posts, another surgeon should post videos in order to combat that and then try to get patients to their practice instead. So I would say all the comments are promotional and educational in nature, but regarding the actual ethics of the content being posted, there was more content being posted that was trying to educate the viewer on the surgery while also promoting them, rather than just being like, here's my contact information. I do such a great job on every single surgery I do.
Yeah. Okay. So it was the idea that there was some educational component there, made it educational, even though just being on social media itself is a promotional platform.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that we've said the word promotion at least 10 times in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll say it one more time, promotion, and I'm going to say it again. Chloe, if you think of what Tess is talking about right now in terms of promotion, I know this is slightly tangential from what you did. What do you think the students who are posting, like these popular videos, what are they promoting about medical school?
Honestly, I feel like some of these students are like micro-bragging. Which is something I also dove into.
But what's the difference between a micro brag and a mega brag?
Like, you know how some students here in Bergen Tech, they'll be like, oh, I didn't sleep for like 6 hours straight.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We talked about that in Intro to Research. It's you're bragging about your lack of time as if it's a social, it's like a status.
Yeah. So I dove into that. And honestly, I think they're posting things like that to make themselves feel like they're so like, always grinding, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Which is something we do too.
So they're promoting the grind set.
Yes, they're promoting the grind. But that's actually a negative correlation. That's negatively affecting students because it makes them feel like they should also be doing the same, if not more than them, if that makes sense.
It's a weird concept, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the thing that you're bragging about is feeling out of control of your time.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say it's like, just from personal experience, like when I tell people, I only slept 3 hours last night because I was working up all night, I think it's like you trying to make yourself feel better about actually doing that because, sure, you could have done it earlier or did a little bit every day, but like doing it all and like, showing you're like trying to get praise for your hard work because you did put in those hours, and like telling people that you put in those hours like makes you feel better about yourself.
Do you mind if we go off on a little bit of a tangent then, considering we're talking about this?
Yeah.
When you just said what you said, how much of that lack of sleep is the result of procrastination?
For me personally,
yeah, you could say none of it. I'm just curious as a parent and as a teacher.
So I feel like procrastination comes in a lot of different forms.
I agree.
And one of the forms of procrastination I used to do was instead of doing my AP seminar and my AP research.
Well, I'm not trying to investigate you right now.
No. I would focus on other classes and like heavily focus on them. So I would do like AP Calc and then study for it, or do bio and study for it.
Well, because it's due the next day.
Well, it's not only that, because it's easier than like having to do something that you've never done before, which is what really AP research is. It's a creative experience. Sometimes it's scary.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Often I felt like those late nights are because I was afraid to like take that step in to like the creativity atmosphere, because it's like something that we've never really done before and something that it was like a new experience. And that's why, like, you start late, you end late.
I gotcha. I appreciate your honesty. I think it's a very human thing. It's you take care of, when you have a task that seems intimidating, you take care of the tasks that aren't intimidating, mm-hmm. because that it gives you a sense that you're making progress, even though you might not be making progress in the thing that's really concerning you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Chloe, what do you think?
I didn't know that was a sign of procrastination, actually. That's like my method of studying. Like I usually get rid of all the small things first so I can focus on the big thing.
Well, as long as you get to the big thing.
Yeah.
I guess like, that's the thing.
Like I would focus on the small things, but I would make them big things. So if I had like a bio quiz the next week, I would study for the bio quiz instead of working on the research for like 30 minutes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But I actually ended up getting into the groove of it later on in the year, which I'm really proud of.
Like, I noticed.
When we started doing the planner stuff, I started doing like 45 minutes a day. And then when I didn't do the 30 minutes of day, like the day before, I would do an hour. And honestly, like getting that done first really helped me, especially because I had less of an opportunity to micro focus on the stuff I didn't know about, biology or AP Calc, and I could really just work. I set a timer for myself. I did 1 hour of research. I would say the last 3 or 4 weeks, I like really locked in. I'm proud of that.
I was just about to say, you seemed more focused and less scattered probably late March, early April.
Today. Yes, it took a while, but I got there.
It's okay. There's some adults who don't ever get to what you're talking about, so you resolved it. Chloe, what about you? Like, how do you feel like procrastination manifest, not just in this course, but like in school? Like, if you see yourself pulling it like an all-nighter, or you're up until 3, is it procrastination or is it something else?
Well, last year, like for my sophomore year, I had like a very bad sleep schedule, so this year I tried like focusing on like sleeping a lot. So
it's a great time.
It's an amazing time.
It's a wonderful
I'm very
experience.
Proud of it too. I sleep at like 10:30 around every day, like 10:30 p.m. every day.
And there are that's gasps. So nice. There are gasps occurring right now.
I like really tried my best for sleep because it took a mental toll on me, really bad mental toll.
Oh yeah, you gotta sleep.
You gotta sleep, but you know, it's just so manifested in our like BT culture to not sleep and to study, and I just like completely ignored that and tried to sleep the most. But I think that's like my main issue this year, because I feel like sometimes I like convince myself that I was like, oh, I did so much today already, like let me just take a nap, but like that nap ruins my entire thing, and then I have to stay up studying sometimes.
I'm a big napper.
Yeah, I'm a big napper. I go home, I pass out, but it's very bad. I just figured out this year that I just need to get my work done, go back home, and then sleep like for the whole night, not just like wake up studying and then go back to sleep, which is worse for your health.
What was the biggest change you noticed when you were getting full night's sleep this year? Like, what was it easier to concentrate? Like, was it just, were your energy levels higher? Like, how did it feel to get a full night's sleep?
My brain was like completely clear. Like, I had really bad brain fog, I remember.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't remember things. Like, people would be talking to me and I'll just be spaced out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that makes sense.
Now I can actually be in the present without thinking about like a test that I had to cram for the night before. And I was like able to be stress free. So, yeah.
And you know what? You wouldn't remember that test anyway because your brain would just be so, you'd have the brain fog plus the cramming.
Yeah.
So, you're making me want to go to sleep earlier now.
It's very good. You should invest in it.
Have you found more time to sleep, Tessa, since AP research wrapped up?
No, because I'm a really big napper, and when I take naps, it's usually like a sleep nap where it's like 2 to 3 hours, and then
it's a pretty decent sized nap.
It's pretty too big, I would say.
Yeah.
I think I need to shorten my naps or take no naps. I think I have to stop the naps because I take a nap and then it's already 8:30, and then I have to start my work, but then I also have to eat because I'm so hungry after my nap. You know,
what's considered a nap then? Is that sleep?
I think like a good nap is like 30 minutes. I think that's a good size nap.
Can you try setting an alarm for 30 minutes?
I don't wake up to my alarms.
Wow. So
I have like
you need
10
that sleep.
Alarms in the morning to help me get up.
You're a teenager. You need sleep.
I know. But it's like I sleep during the day. I'm like a nocturnal creature. I sleep during the day and then I do all my work at night.
You know, evolutionarily speaking, you are not a nocturnal creature. Human beings are not nocturnal.
Which is the problem.
I know, you may have been conditioned by school to now be operating nocturnally, but you need to use the summer as the great reset.
I'm going to try to, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get there. You're going to get, look, if you were able to tackle AP research, you can get on top of your sleep schedule. You're going to get there. Just because we were talking about procrastination, any words of advice you would have for students who are thinking about taking an independent research course in high school, other than get your sleep in?
Do it.
You just say do it, Tessa?
Don't think about it, just do it.
It's very Nike.
That's actually a very true response. Just do it, honestly, because I think a lot of people have a problem with this, just like thinking about it, not just doing it. So I think in junior year, you just have to blank out, honestly. like for
Wait,
quarter
what does that mean? What
like
does that mean?
For quarter two and quarter three, I literally don't know what I did for those two quarters. I just blanked out and just studied. I have no clue what I did.
This sounds eerily familiar to the grind set being promoted in your middle school pieces.
I think that if you think too much about what you're doing, nothing is perfect, and I'm a big perfectionist, and especially in AP research, there's so much room for imperfection. Like, imperfection is the only way you're going to grow. And even building the question was so hard because it's not going to be perfect the first time. And it was really hard for me to think about that. And I had a lot of messy emotional responses to all the imperfect things that was happening, especially even the comments being more educational scared me a bunch, but you just have to do it. And then if that's what the data showed, if that's what your studies are saying to do, just do it.
Yep. If there's one thing I learned from my research about burnout that I can give advice to students here, just don't self-compare. You are a different person. You know, if you're going to self-compare yourself to another student, you're just going to cut yourself short. So in the end of the day, you should never compare yourself to others and just focus on yourself and what you're doing, because everyone has a different path. Not everyone's going to have the exact same score on the test. Not everyone's going to be good at things that you are good at. So if there's one thing I can just take away from my research, don't self-compare. That will lead to burnout.
Unless that self-comparison is actually giving you some positive tips.
Yes, unless you're getting advice from it, don't compare.
Or progressive communication rather than comparison.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Talk to the person. Ask them what they're doing.
Hey, how did you do that?
Yeah, wow, you're doing such great research. Can you help me?
Yeah, you know, even as a teacher, sometimes I see students who, right away, they're really good presenters, and some people who really struggle with it. And it's I can honestly say my 8-year-old just gave a presentation last week, or this week, I should say, and his teacher was like, he spoke without any sort of cueing for 8 minutes straight. Good job, Charlie. Yeah, he did a really nice job. But also, it was almost like no one had to teach him how to do that. But at the same time, the amount of time I've spent him trying to teach him how to tie his shoes has been insurmountable, you know what I'm saying? So it's there's things that we just are good at that come easy to us. But I think to your point, Tessa, it's when it doesn't come easy to you, you got to recognize that, and you got to be open to accepting the challenge. And to your point, Chloe, it's like if you're going to self-compare, if it's just going to be from a negative place, then you're just going to increase shame, and you're just going to freeze yourself even more. Well, the bell is about to ring. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you, and good luck, future BT students.
Yes, thank you so much. I hope you do great research projects.